Coming up today, a special edition of The Stand Radio as we take a look back on Senior Vice President Buddy Smith's 32 years of ministry at AFA and what it's going to take to be salt and light in our culture.
I've been doing this a while, and I know that these battles aren't won just by words. Christians have to get involved and take a stand, and God will use that, and victories can happen, but they don't just happen on the, you know, if you're on the sidelines. You've got to be willing to step into the arena and let the Lord use you.
It's the weekend of July 6th and 7th. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. Welcome to this weekend's edition of The Stand Radio. Many of you are enjoying what's remaining of your Independence Day celebrations, and we hope that it's been an enjoyable one. You know, strengthening our nation and calling her back to her biblical foundations has been a mission of AFA since 1977. And one man who's worked closely with our founder, Don Wildman, in leadership through many of those years, has retired and is passing the torch of leadership to another generation. Buddy Smith is with us here on The Stand Radio. Welcome, Buddy.
Well, thank you, Jeff. This is a real joy. I'm looking forward to this.
Pleasure to have you with us. You officially retired now back in April after 32 years of ministry here at AFA. Yeah. How did all of that begin, Buddy?
Well, yeah, it goes back to when I was serving as a United Methodist pastor in the Mississippi Delta. Yeah. I had known Don Wildman as a colleague in ministry. He was a United Methodist pastor, so we had met, and I knew a little bit about National Federation for Decency, it was at the time. But I was serving a church, and I had a parent. We had a daycare ministry in our church. I had a parent come to my office and say, hey, are you aware there's a video store just across the street? This was in the days that if you want to watch a movie, you basically had to rent one, you know, a VHS tape in a store. So anyway, I said, they said, well, they've got a back room that, you know, it's call them X-rated videos, pornography and obscenity. Are you aware of that's just happening across the street? I said, no. And of course, they were troubled about it. This was a parent with a young child, and they knew some of the dangers of pornography addiction. And so basically, you know, they wanted me to do something about it.
Okay.
So I walked across the street, and I actually had a membership there, but didn't know this was going on. And introduced myself to the manager and asked about the back room and expressed my disappointment and began to make my case. And basically she said, well, Pastor, I know who you are, and you know that door you just came in? You can go out the same door. And so I was frustrated, went back to my office thinking, praying, okay, you know, is there anything more I can do? Well, I thought of Brother Don, so I picked up the phone, and sure enough, connected with him on the phone. I said, told him the situation. I said, Don, do you know something I can do? And he said, well, yeah, buddy, but you won't do it. And I thought, wait a minute. And I said, so are you telling me that you're not even going to tell me what it is unless I agree to do it first? And he said, well, here's the bottom line. He said, I'm a busy man, and I don't want to waste my time or yours either.
Wow.
So that's it. And I said, well, you know, I tell you what, I've always kind of liked a dare. What is it?
Yeah.
He said, well, buddy, go across and rent one of those tapes. And he said, do you know the police chief? I said, well, yes, sir. And he said, well, call him into your office. You have a VCR at the church? Yeah. Well, close the door and just turn it on. And then ask him what he's going to do about it. And I thought, you mean, I said, Don, I've been a pastor in this town for 5 years, and everybody knows who I am. Our services are broadcast on the television. And he said, I knew you wouldn't do it. I knew you wouldn't do it. I said, okay, I'm going. So I went over there and made a real scene. I walked in and headed to the back room, and she just called my name out. There were several people in the store. Reverend Smith, you're here to make trouble. Don't you go in there. Well, I went in, and there was someone in there I knew, and I said, well, my first time, point me to one of these tapes. Oh, boy. So he did. Oh, mercy. So anyway, she didn't want to rent it to me, but I prevailed. I said, look, I have a membership here, and I have every right, you know.
Yeah.
So she gave me the tape, called the police chief, turned it on. He said, man, you turned that off. And I said, mm-hmm. Okay. I said, well, what are you going to do about it? He said, man, I don't know. Hmm. I thought, uh-oh, that's my only instruction, you know. And I said, look, just hold on just a minute. I just remembered something I have to take care of. I'll be right back. So I closed him in there, went to the phone, called Don. Thankfully, he was here.
Yeah.
And I said, Don, he's in my office. I asked him what he was going to do, and he said he didn't know. He said, look, tell him Mississippi has a state obscenity statute that's got some teeth in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you believe this tape is in violation of that statute. I said, well, I can do that. So I went back in there and boldly made that statement. And he said, well, I don't know anything about an obscenity statute, but I'll tell you what I'll do. Let me have the tape, and I'll drop it off to the district attorney's office, and he'll let you know. And so I get a call from the DA. Yeah, buddy, there's a obscenity statute. And so what if we do this? What if we have the police department make copies of the statute and deliver it? There were like five or six video stores in town. We'll deliver it to all the video stores, give them 24 hours to comply. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like a good strategy. So I was, you know, Jeff, I was feeling pretty good about things. I thought, well, man, look, you know, Don's going to be proud. I went over there boldly and did this. So I called Don back. I said, look, good news. And he said, okay, next step is, he said, do you have a local newspaper? I said, well, we'll have a weekly. And he said, well, what about a television station? I said, well, yeah, there's one down in Greenwood, over in Greenwood and Greenville. And he said, well, call them and tell them what you did. I said, you mean you want me? I knew you wouldn't. I said, I'm calling them right now. So, of course, I was front page of the paper, top news story, you know, local preacher taking on porn. And, of course, then the battle lines were kind of drawn. So then I get a threatening letter from this video store across the street to me and to our church, threatening legal action, saying that I was interfering with her right to do business. And so the battle was on, and it stirred it up in the community. And I'll have to say, Christian people really took a stand.
Okay.
And they told her, look, you know, either get rid of the porn or we're out of here. We're not going to rent any more tapes from you. And so thankfully, the battle was won. And okay. We were there for three more years. As long as we were there, Don had me keeping an eye on it, and it didn't come back. But he called me a couple of months later. He said, buddy, he said, I have a opening on my board of directors, mm-hmm. and I need you. And would you serve? You know, I said, I can do that. I'd like to do that. So that's kind of how it all started.
That is an amazing story. You took the dare.
I took the dare, but Don had the right, wow. You know, and he told me later, he said, well, let me explain. He said, if you had stopped with just, you know, police delivering, you know, the ultimatum, 24 hours, whatever, mm-hmm. he said, I can tell you nothing would have happened, and they wouldn't have followed up. And the tapes would have just been there, you know. He said there had to be a battle, and it had to come from her members of the video store. You know, people had to take a stand. Christian people had to speak out and speak up and take a stand. And he said, you know, I've been doing this a while, and I know that these battles aren't won just by words. Christians have to get involved and take a stand, and God will use that. And victories can happen, but they don't just happen on the, you know, if you're on the sidelines. You've got to be willing to step into the arena, and Let the Lord use you.
You know, and step into the arena, but then go on and keep standing, because it occurs to me most people would have left after that first step and say, look, I've done my duty.
I agree.
I've been faithful. Now let's go on. But it's so interesting that Don Weilman saw that there was more that was needed. And
he did.
There was no manual written on how to do this
back
in those days. What was it that gave him such insight into how to go about and what it would take to really make a lasting change?
Yeah. You know, I think the heart of it was Don really understood the power of believers and the local church and taking a stand as the body of Christ, the difference that can make. You know, he saw where the church, to a large degree, was failing in that arena, that too often, our churches are caught up doing good things, but so many churches, even today, are not willing to engage the culture with what's going on around them. I mean, if evil comes in like a flood, and it does, and good Christian people, godly people, you know, don't stand against it. I mean, we're talking about a spiritual warfare here.
Yeah.
And I think Don he understood the spiritual warfare element of it. And you can't just fight these things in the flesh. As the scripture says, you got to suit up. You got to put on the armor of God, and you got to stand together as the church. And when we do that, I mean, just look back through history. I mean, look back through the Bible and look what happens when God's people do that. The Lord works and battles can be won.
Yeah. 32 years after the fact, now here we are today in 2024, your time here at AFA has given you such a unique perspective on this chunk of American cultural history. Where we are today is a lot different than where we were when you first began.
Yeah.
What do you see those major differences being? How would you describe where we've come in terms of our moral battles today?
That's a good question, Jeff. With AFA through the years, the battlefronts are always changing. The only two institutions that God, I guess you would say from the scripture, we know God created, you know, was the church and then marriage and family. I mean, those are God's institutions. He set them in order, and that never changes. But for the most part, in our culture, we can see these battlefronts moving here and there. But to a large degree, the real battle is still the same, and it's still spiritual warfare, and it's evil. It's confronting evil, and where is it that Satan is really pointing his arrows? And, of course, it's always the next generation, too. It's always the young folks. I mean, if somehow he can really find a way through whatever cultural trend or norm, means of doing it out there, you know, then so the battlefronts move and they change, but the core battle has never changed. It's always the same, and it all comes back to biblical worldview for the believer and our understanding of truth and the authority of the scripture, and just being anchored there and not allowing these whims and trends of the time to move us around. God's truth doesn't change. He hasn't changed his mind about marriage and family, and he hasn't changed his mind about the vital role and importance of the local church and why we're here. I mean, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
We're here for a reason, and the purpose is to be the church, to be the revived church, fully alive in God's purposes, and that's really the battle. So our cry here at AFA, you know, our mission is, I think, is a good one. I think it aligns with who we are as the people of God, and that is to equip Right. Inform and activate individuals and families to transform American culture and give aid to the church here and abroad in its calling in the Great Commission. So, you know, our Great Commission, of course, is to share Jesus Christ. Salvation is first and foremost what needs to happen. I mean, there's so many still lost in our nation today. We need to reach them with the good news of Jesus Christ and his saving power. But we also have a cultural commission. It doesn't stop with just helping people come to know the Lord in a saving way, but we need to inform them, make right. sure they're discipled in the Scripture and understand who they are as a Christian, and understand that we need to learn to see the world around us through the lens of the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't need to just come to the Bible and try to find ways that, you know, it applies to us. I mean, it's our instruction manual. God's given it to us. So we come to it to be shaped and formed by it. And so back to your question, you know, it's the battlefronts, they change, they move. But the core battle and the fight is really not changed. It's the same.
Well said, buddy. You know, Don Weilman was so uniquely equipped to understand what the need of the moment was back in 1977. And now that he's passed on from this life, we see a second and a third generation of leadership. As you're now retired, how do you see the Lord using the current leadership of AFA to fulfill what Don had begun so many years ago?
Thank you, Jeff, for that question. I'd love to answer it. I remember being on a trip somewhere with Brother Don. And somehow the question came up about succession. As a matter of fact, he told me, he said, "Well, now, buddy, next week, remind me, we need to sit around and we got to have this discussion about succession at AFA." And it kind of took me aback because Don was such a visionary, like you say, and yet somehow he was a micromanager all in one, and so he was just so engaged in every day. He did his best work at night. He'd come in the morning, and there was a new project. We got to do this. We got to do that. And we'd say, "Oh, Brother Don, can't we just take a breath?" And, you know, but you know, he was just so wired. And so, I kind of reacted to what he said, and I said, "Well, really? I mean, you want to talk about succession?" He said, "Well, what's wrong with that?" I said, "Well, nothing's wrong with it. It just surprises me a little bit that that's on your mind. You're so engaged with, okay, this is what God's called us to do now. Let's get it done." Mm-hmm. I said, "Don, I've just kind of always seen you as one that, you know, when your battle is done and it's over and God says, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant, welcome home,' then it's over." He said, "Well, you got it wrong."
Wow. Oh, boy.
I mean, he was really not happy with me. And I said, "Well, okay. And what is it?" He said, "Well, buddy, let me just put it this way. The next day after I'm no longer at AFA," he said, "if this ministry and this mission is not stronger, then I will consider everything I've done as an absolute failure." Mm. So, I thought about that a lot. And I thought about Tim's leadership. You know, when Brother Don was not here, then when Brother Don was here, he was such a strong leader there. Even though Tim was here, thankfully, and he was learning, but he was really in the wings. There was no room for him. Yes. I mean, Don was just...
Don did everything.
He did. Yeah. He did, Jeff. You and I saw it. Front row seat.
Yes.
But he was unique in that regard. But but when Tim's turn came... You know, Don made sure that he was equipped and he was ready. And, we've all seen this sometimes when ministries pass along to the next generation. There's this mission drift thing that happens. And, all of a sudden what was one ministry and had a focus all of a sudden is just off the tracks and it's doing something else. And it could have easily happened here at AFA. I mean, Tim could have stepped up and said, "Well, you know, we've had our days of battles. Let's just sit back and cruise a while, you know." And but thankfully, Tim won't do that. He understands we're in the battle for the soul of this nation. This is a battleship, and we've got to stay engaged. And I'll say this about Tim's sons, Wesley and Walker, and then Riley, his daughter. I remember when these first came to AFA to work here, and he called Ed Tagliano and myself in his office, and he said, look, he said, I'm giving the boys a job this summer. So they're just going to be in the mailroom and doing some things around. But he said, I'm not giving them a title. Mm-hmm. And for this reason, he said, their last name is Wildman, and I do not want them pushing their way around here with that name. And he said, you know, my heart is I'd love to see my boys here, and I'd love to, you know, I've prayed about that. I hope God's calling them here, but I don't know that, and I don't want to assume that.
Yeah.
And so I just want you to help me here. If they overstep, you know, you have my permission. Call them down.
Okay.
And Jeff, okay. I'll have to admit, that was kind of my role a little bit earlier on.
Right?
I called them both down. I told Carol, my wife Carol, one night, I said, after doing one of those guys, I said, well, Carol, I'm headed to the office, but I may be back home. You know, I don't know how this is going to turn out. But, you know, those guys came each time, you know, each of them, Walker and Wesley, ended up coming back into my office and saying, you know what, you were right. And I was wrong, and I've asked God to forgive me, and now I need to ask you to. And I said, look, we're okay. But it's been so exciting, Jeff, to see how God has just really infused, I'll use that word, and endued those guys and Riley with just a calling here. I mean, it wasn't long until everyone here, all of our staff, began to realize, all right, they've got a place here, and they've got a purpose here. And more as they have developed and bloomed and blossomed, it's amazing just how God has equipped them mm-hmm. for this place and this ministry. And it's just so exciting. So, yeah. You know, back to your question, is my time, you know, has begun to, I think, be served here. And I'll just say this. I guess this is true in any ministry or organization, I guess. You can overstay. I think we're seeing that right now in our chief office in mm-hmm. the United States. I mean, you can just stay too long.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that. I've seen the dangers of that. I mean, it gets ugly. It's bad. It's really bad. I've always mm-hmm. prayed, God, don't. Lord, I love this place, and you know, it's home for me in ministry, and I just so fulfilled here. But please don't let me abuse that. And so, you know, there just came a point that, in addition to Walker and Wesley and Riley, I mean, with Tony Battagliano now, and with our own daughter Stacy, she's mm-hmm. one of our VPs. These young folks, they just have so much vision and energy. And focus, and I see that I'm no longer at that level that I once was, and so it's a real joy to just see what God's doing through them.
That's
and
exciting.
It's a new day for AFA. And back to what Don said, Brother Don, when he said, look, the day that I'm out of here, if AFA's mission is not stronger and growing day by day, I'll consider everything I've done as a failure. Well, Jeff, I can say AFA, from my perspective, is stronger today than we've ever been in terms of our impact and the opportunity, the window that God has opened for AFA. You know, I truly believe the best is yet to come.
Isn't that exciting?
It is.
That is so exciting.
Praise God.
And to God be the glory for
yes.
those things.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, what is your next step? Because
you
still have a lot to give. So
well,
what are your
Jeff.
Plans now?
Well, I appreciate that. Well, you know, when I told Tim, You know, and he had told me, well, you just tell me when it's time. So I went in his office one day. I was having some health challenges. Thankfully, I'm doing much better. Yeah, I've had two hip replacements, which made things a lot better for me. But when I went into his office, he said, well, you just want to go home? And I said, well, not really. And he said, well, we'd like to keep you around. So I'm here a couple of days a week, and thankfully, but I'm not in the day-to-day management any longer. I started here as an AFA board member, and I was there for 6 years. Then I became on the staff for 32. Now I'm back as a board member. And so I'm really excited about that. And then there are just some opportunities here, Jeff, to kind of pull back and kind of hopefully keep an eye a little while longer on the bigger picture and have some input on some things. And I just sense, again, that what's happening here at AFA is just, as you say, it's exciting. And I think the Lord has positioned us and our supporters, you know, we're just here for a time such as this in our nation. And AFA's, I think, needed more than ever. And our mission is the same. It doesn't change. And I'm just excited about what God not only is doing, but what He will continue to do in and through this ministry.
Well, in my years of serving with you, buddy, I have learned so much from you and have really watched you very carefully in the way that you have led this organization. Mm-hmm. And I've learned a few things, not nearly as much as I should, but I've learned a few things by looking at your wisdom.
Well, Jeff, that means
a
lot coming from you. Well, I can tell you, brother, that's a two-way street. We've enjoyed some great times together, and they're back to this spiritual warfare that we're in. You and I have been in the trenches together here several times, and we've seen God do some amazing things.
Absolutely.
Even in the challenges, and I've learned a lot from you too, brother, and your family is truly a blessing to me, and so I thank God for our friendship, and look forward to continuing that in the days ahead.
Buddy, we appreciate you sharing so much with
Thank
us
you,
today.
Jeff.
It's important that we understand what God has done here and take up that challenge and move forward and keep shining the light of Christ as we go. Thanks for being with us today,
Thank
buddy.
You, Jeff. I've really enjoyed it.
Next week, we'll talk with Tim Nestor with the National Center on Sexual Exploitation about the world's wealthiest companies that profit from the exploitation of our children online. And we'll give you some great guidelines for talking to your child about it. For a podcast of today's interview with Buddy Smith, go to AFR.net. And don't forget, you can get a free 6-month trial subscription to The Stand magazine or sign up for the daily email at afa.net/The Stand. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening. Join us next time here on The Stand Radio.